Welcome to another episode of Sips and Scripts. I'm your host, Justin. Here today, I'm actually going to be joined by a good friend, Kyla. She is going to be talking about one of her favorite movies, which is Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 romantic movie that has really stood the test of time. I've heard about it. I know a lot of women around my age group kind of look to this movie as kind of the ultimate romance story, but I've never actually watched it. So I got to watch it the other night, and yeah, so we're just going to sit back, enjoy a drink. We're actually going to be drinking Evan Williams and Coca-Cola. This is Kyla's kind of quarantine drink, I would say. So yeah, got a cup right here by me. Yeah, so we're going to touch base and talk about that. So hope you guys enjoy the episode. I'm like three cups deep on your Evan Williams and Coke. Where are you at right now? Do you have your drink by you?
I have my drink, and it's number one.
Oh, man. Okay, this is going to be a fun podcast. All right, well, here, let's take a sip. Cheers via the internets.
Okay.
So, first of all, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Let's get into this movie, Pride and Prejudice. So is your favorite movie, kind of one of?
It's one of. I would say, because I'm one of those people that if you ask me what's my favorite thing, like, it's hard for me to narrow. Like, I can't just name one. Like, I have to have a top five, or at least.
Yeah.
Because and my movies, like, as far as movies, like, I don't have a singular favorite movie. And, like, my movies have, like, favorites is have, like, my top fives have to be categorized.
Okay.
So I can't put, like, Pride and Prejudice in the same category as, like, Disney movies.
Okay, like, yep, that's fair. That's fair.
Disney movies have their own category, so it's like, of what my favorites are.
Nope, that's completely fair.
So what do you think of Evan?
All right, so.
Thoughts on Evan.
Yes, so I've never seen this movie. I've heard about it. I feel like I could even quote some things like the yes, a thousand times yes, that Jane says when she finally gets proposed to. I've heard that time and time again. I know the name Mr. Darcy. I never knew who he was, but I knew the name. So when I actually started watching it, I think you caught me at a perfect time because I had just, or not just, but I mean, everything's relative since time is a construct due to the quarantine. one of the movies I saw, and I was going to ask you about this. Have you seen Greta Gerwig's Little Women that came out last?
Yes.
Okay. Phenomenal movie.
Very good, blown
away. And, you know, being a Black man and being so enthralled by a story about four little white women, I was like, you've done a masterful job. Because as soon as the movie started, there were two thoughts that I had. The first thing, when you see Keira Knightley or Lizzie, when she's walking through the city reading the book, I was like, is this Beauty and the Beast?
Right.
Because I was like, this is giving off some real Beauty and the Beast vibes. And then,
honestly,
oh, go ahead.
Now that you say that, like, I would not... I didn't even make that correlation, but now that you say that, that's a perfect,
perfectly. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, it's Beauty and the Beast. I was like, but it wasn't a bad thing, but I was like, oh, I was like, that's right. Pleasant. Like that's familiar for me. Cause I really don't, I'll be honest. I don't gravitate towards pure romantic movies, like pure romance. I don't gravitate towards those stories. If you give me a rom-com, I'll watch it, but like the straight, like, what are those, like, those novels that you read that's got Fabio on the cover? Like, that type of stuff?
Those are, like, I feel like our updated version of those have been, like, 50 Shades of Grey.
Ah, yeah.
Those are kind of like the more modern version of those
And
books,
then the
those kinds of books. But yeah, I get like blatantly like blate like in your face
like the
romantic.
and Nicholas Sparks, the
Yes,
all of those things, I'm like, okay, I get it. He's a troubled guy and she's a good girl, and they'll somehow find a common ground. I'm like, okay, whatever. But let me say, I actually enjoyed this movie.
Yes, this is completely different. I feel like it's completely it plays with a love story in a completely unique way.
Now, see, that's interesting.
Almost, I feel like in comparison to, I would say it is in comparison to Beauty and the Beast, but not so fairy tale-ish. I wouldn't go that far because I feel like this is very, I feel like this movie is very relatable.
Okay. Now let's dive deeper
If that
into that.
makes
Yeah, no, let's dive into that. So what was it about, because of course it's Mr. Darcy, it kind of, are you saying it kind of turns the romance, or kind of what we know now as a romance story, on its head? But how do you see that with Mr. Darcy versus Lizzie Bennet? How are you seeing that as different than what we typically see?
So I feel like with Mr. Darcy and Lizzie, I feel like their interaction with each other is kind of like how when someone meets somebody that, how can I say this? It's like, you know how when people say like you don't like the reason why you don't like somebody is because they're just like you. And that's how this story is. But the thing about it is they don't realize how much alike that they actually are. And the more every time that I watch this movie, I take away something different from it. Or I wouldn't say that I take away from it, but I see different nuances that I wasn't paying attention to the first go around. I feel like the more I watch it and the more I understand what they're saying, the funnier it
There
gets.
is a lot of humor in
And
there.
that's what I like. It is a lot of humor, and it's my kind of humor. I love this kind of humor in
Okay,
this movie.
gotcha. So let me ask you this. How old were you when you first saw this film?
I want to say I saw it because it came out in
Yep,
2005, I
2005.
believe. But in 2005, I was like 17, I think. And so, but I didn't go and see it in the theater. I think I saw it like somewhere in my late teens, early 20s, somewhere in there. And it was on like FX,
Okay,
like when it came
gotcha.
to network. And I was just, bored or what, like scrolling through. And I just happened upon it. And I was just like, and it just so happened to be from the, like, pretty much the beginning of the movie. I think I kind of hopped in somewhere in the beginning of the movie. So I was able to watch it in length. And yeah, somewhere around my late teens, early
Okay.
20,
So
somewhere.
let's like middle of the road it. Let's say you were 21-ish. Let's say you're around there. So, and if you want to use colorful language, you're fine. How old are you now?
I'm
31 now.
31.
So this movie has been with you for roughly 10 years.
Yes.
So you already said you were kind of clicking through the channels, you see it, and what was it about it that made you say, "Wow, what's this about?"
First of all, I've always been kind of attracted to anything vintage. I like old things. I like antiques. I like old music. I like vintage photography. I like history. I watch a lot of that historical documentary. Yeah, so like if we were in high school and like the history teacher brought in the television and we were gonna watch a documentary, I got excited. Like I was that person, I was that kid that was like, yeah, we're gonna watch a
Oh yeah, no.
documentary.
History is by far my favorite subject. Absolutely love it.
I'm one of those people that like really appreciate when people like when there's a movie and they try to stay as true to the historical like nuances. Like, so that's my background, and that's kind of what gravitated, like once it came on and I knew that it was a, like obviously you can tell it's a period drama from like the beginning, and I was just like, okay, well let me see what this is about.
Excellent. Okay.
And that's kind of so mainly just the fact that it was a period
Yeah.
drama. I was like, let me
okay,
see.
Gotcha. So that's what got you interested. So what is it that hooked you? And why is this now a movie that you look back on and say, it's one of my top movies?
I honestly, once it got to the scene where they were at the, I wouldn't call it a ball, but it was mm-hmm. kind of like a dance. And she meets Mr. Darcy and their whole interact, like, well, and even, I think it was even before that, like, even just the dialogue between the girls and their mother and the mother and their father, like that yes. whole interaction yes. was hysterical. Like their mother is probably one of my favorite characters.
Oh my gosh. All right. So we're, film. All right. So we're going to jump to one of my main questions. I literally have on my notes. What are your thoughts on the mother? So you like her.
Oh my God. I thought she was hysterically
okay,
funny.
Hysterically funny, like just, but what are your thoughts on the character of the mother if she were your
well,
mother?
If she were my mother, I would probably kill her. I would probably kill her. However, to her credit, that was probably, was she obnoxious? Yes. But I think they did that on, like Jane Austen did
for
that
sure,
on
for sure.
For sure. But I would assume that back then, a lot of mothers were exactly like
yeah.
her. Like she wasn't, I would think that all mothers, especially mothers with that many girls
yeah.
and not a single boy, I would, yeah, that like her, her character to me was pretty spot on. Like, and it kind of, in foreshadowing one of her lines in the movie, like, cause she kind of sums it up pretty well at like towards the end of the, like towards the ending of the movie, like with a line, one liner that she says to Lizzie. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense why she is.
Like, yeah. Why, actually, that know, was the line that stood out to me because she said, you have five daughters and you tell me how you would feel and then come talk to me or something. Yeah. Something along those
yeah.
lines.
She said, and you have five daughters and you tell me what occupies your thoughts. Like she is hilarious to
you
me.
Know, and that yeah.
obnoxious, hilarious.
And you know what? That's fair. And, you know, looking back on, you know, like you said, if you look through it, the lens of that time period, there was nothing wrong with the mom that, you know, she did everything no. that any other mom who loves their daughters would do. I was just kind of like, I, as a father of a daughter, looked at it through the lens of the dad, Mr. Bennett. And I was like, yo, if you don't right. get out of my face, trying to get my girls out of, right. like, what are you talking about? Like, when, what was that? When right. Mr. Collins, oh, bless his heart. Any other time, I may have actually, like, shed a tear. Like, I was like, that's so sad. Like, first of all, homeboy is trying to marry his cousin and she's not even giving him the time of day. And I was like, that's sad. And then all the little sisters are laughing at him after the proposal. And
so you like
No. You're confused.
Okay.
No. Any other time, I can be very sympathetic to those
okay.
those downtrodden characters. So I can kind of just be like, oh, that would, I look at those type of characters and say, that would suck if that were me. Because I gotcha. Feel like when he was doing his whole proposal, I felt bad for him. But of course I knew like, no, there's no way. And there's no reason for her to marry him. But again,
right.
for me, coming from the perspective of Mr. Bennett, you know, when the mom, they're at the pond or whatever, and the mom is like, hey,
yeah.
you need to tell her to say yes. When he says, you know, hey, you know, Lizzie, just so you know, after this moment, one of your parents will never talk to you again. And then he was like, if you say no, it will be your mother. And if you say yes, it will be me. And that was the very moment where I was like, all right, I'm all Mr. Bennett. Like, at the end yeah. of the day, it's like, yo, I get it. I'm about to die. I can't take care of y'all. But if y'all aren't going to be happy, it's not worth it.
Right.
And that was really like I said, out of the dad lens, I was like, yo, he's got his head on right. Like that is.
And I think also in that scene, you get a really big sense of how much Lizzie is his favorite.
Now, see, yeah, no, like, that's fair. See, I didn't look at it as all right. Technically, one of his quotes at the end when she's talking about Mr. Darcy was kind of like, you're my favorite. But I don't think it was more or less his favorite. I just think he understood her the most.
Right.
And I think he was just kind of like, look, you know, your older sister, she just wants to be married. Your two younger sisters, they're some hoes. Like, they just trying to give it up.
You want to talk about... I feel like when looking back on it too, like you can get a sense of like which daughters are most like their mother and which are most like their father. Yes. Like that are more like, and they give a really good like variety of like personalities within that whole dynamic. For sure.
So yeah, so I took that, you know, when he was talking to Lizzie about Mr. Darcy, it was more like, look, I know how you give it up. Like, you don't want, you're not going to force yourself to do anything. So if this is what you actually want, like, I'm a little shocked, but I mean, okay. Like, I'll agree to it if you do. Like, that's what I got from it. Now, I could understand where it could be seen as, yeah, you're my favorite, so I really don't want to lose you. But I think it was more like, I know you're not going to jump through hoops for some dude. So if you're actually willing to do this, then you must really love this guy. What did you think of, or did it even stand out to you the first couple of times when you saw the hand touch scene?
The hand touch scene where where they're walking out to get into the carriage. Yes. And helps her on the carriage. Okay. Yes, that scene does stand out to me because I think they make references towards his hand. I think one or two more times, other times throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, I feel like they were giving a subtle glimpse into, yes, he likes her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, like, definitely.
He likes her, and I think when they veer away to his hand and he's like kind of stretching it out, like almost in a way like, oh my God, did I just do that kind of thing? I think it was like more so like, I did that, but I'm kind of like, he likes her, but I don't know. I think it unnerved him that he liked her.
Okay, yeah.
That much. I don't think he expected to like her as much as he did.
See, now that, yeah.
Either that, or I think he genuinely didn't know how to express his feelings in a way that compromised who he had always been, this kind of cold, reserved person. But being cold and reserved and vulnerable don't mix.
Very true.
So I think him hold, like reaching for her hand and offering to help her up was a slight glimpse of him being vulnerable. And I don't think he enjoyed it too much. Like, I don't think he was like,
yeah.
I think he was
now
like,
it
was hard for him to do.
Now, see, that's very interesting. I will tell you my read on that scene and based on like my previous knowledge of Mr. Darcy in this movie. But I can tell you've been someone who's seen this movie multiple times, because that is probably the most accurate depiction or description of what actually happened. Would you like to know what I thought happened?
Yes.
They had sex right there. That was the sexiest non-sex scene I've ever seen in my life. Like,
okay, so.
Let's go, Kyla. Let it out. Come on, let it out.
I guess, yeah, in a way it was extreme, because it's like, it kind of took her back as well. I think it kind of took.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the electricity, the attraction is when that actually sparked. Because I feel like at the first ball, here's this wisecracking, like, quick-witted woman. He's kind of like, all right, whatever. If you notice, his whole dialogue up until that point is just very much like one-liners. Just one word or like one sentence, like, I'm whatever. Like, I'll just answer your question. After that moment, when they actually touch hands, you realize that he's actually paying attention to her. She's not just in his periphery. Yes. He's actually looking at her. And that's mm-hmm. what stood out to me with that scene was, it's real. Like, it's not just simply a, who's that girl? It's more of a, yo, she, what is she about? And like you said, her face, because it stays on her face. And no, we don't see that why she's making that face until it cuts to him holding her hand. So the whole time we're kind of like, right. Why is she looking like, oh, that, okay. And it's like, that is the sexiest non-sex scene of any movie. It is unreal. Yeah. Because the whole time we never really know who he is or what he's about or why he does the things he does. But that right. moment, we actually see he actually cares for her. He wants to feel her. Yes. He wants to embrace her. But there is this code. There is this law. There's these already, he's already been promised to another. So that's the most he can do is hold her hand and let her in a carriage.
That's when you see the conflict in him.
Yes.
You see the conflict in him. And it's like, you kind of already got a sense of the conflict in her already, but that's when you really get a moment of his battle.
Definitely.
To like, want to show her that he cares about her, but he can't really, he doesn't feel like he can really do that because of his
yes, stature. Definitely.
And because of time. Of the impropriety and the, you know, all those, what would people say?
Yeah,
know what I mean? Like that whole, because he's Mr. Darcy. He has that, you know, that pinnacle. He stands on the pedestal. I mean, completely different from Mr. Bingley. I mean, Mr. Bingley makes a good amount of money. Let's, you know, not, you know, downplay Mr. Bingley, but Mr. Darcy was making,
you know what? It's like
money.
Mr. Darcy. Or like Mr. Bingley is like one of those like SoundCloud rappers who's like, yo, I got a Bentley. And then Mr. Darcy's like, hey, just so mm-hmm. you know, I've actually got like a private jet and like I've been made money. So like it doesn't impress me. Like yeah. Mr. Darcy had old
Mr.
money.
Mr. Darcy is Jay-Z. Yeah. Mr. Darcy is Jay-Z. Like Mr. Darcy is like
yes.
I own things. Like I run things.
We assume that Mr. Bingley is going to propose to Jane. And then the sister, I believe it's like a shot where they're looking over. They've just left. From the party yep. where the mom got sloshed.
Yep.
Like, that was hilarious. All right, right. That was funny. Like, when I was looking at her, I was like, yo, she is trash right now.
Now that I think about it, like it was a continuous shot. Like it was one continuous shot, but it didn't really feel that way. You know what I mean? Like it visually was a continuous shot, but it really didn't feel that way. But yes, the Bennetts really in that whole scene, that whole ball scene was just
oh my gosh.
Showed their
the
asses.
Daughter who like, was, it was playing just, the piano, like it was a I lost it.
Yes.
And then when Mr. Bennett came through and was like, yo, gosh. Fam, chill. Like, I was like,
it was a shit show. It was like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That one made me laugh. That, when she was playing the piano and he was like, yo, hey, mm-hmm. let someone else play. Like, chill out. Like,
right.
That was funny. But no, it was, go ahead.
And I don't even know. I can't remember. Do they even tell you that sister's name?
No, of course she's credited as having a name, but no, I don't believe they actually right. called her name. So her name is actually Mary.
I think every time I watch that movie, yes, it is Mary. That's right.
So you have Lizzie, that, Mary, yeah. Jane, really... Lydia, and Kitty.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's great. So back to the sister though. That scene when they're leaving the party and then she looks at the brother, she's like, yeah, for real? Like her? Like, I think that's perfect to what you were saying of like, she's the start of it. Like, is it like, come on, man. Like, let's go back home. Like, you're not really about to marry her, right?
And I love how they can get stuff like that across with just one-liners. Like, really simple simple gestures, simple lines that make a
Definitely,
huge
definitely.
impact. I feel like that was one of those scenes where it's like she didn't really say a whole lot. All she said was, "Are you serious?" And that was it. He looked like it was the and the acting carry like just the
Yeah.
acting carries a lot of the
No,
scene, and I
definitely,
really like
definitely.
that. I
I'll
really
be
like
honest, when the sister was around, and actually my favorite scene was actually when Lizzie goes to see Jane, who is sick and is staying at the Bingleys, and the sister, I believe her name is Caroline, she's like, "Hey, come walk with me." And they literally just walk around the room. That whole dialogue, that whole scene, I was like, yeah, you can take my money now. I was like, that's my type of writing where you have the scene where it's just the Mr. Bingley is just sitting there looking like a doofus. You have Mr. Darcy there who's like, no, I'm writing stuff. Like, don't worry about what I'm doing. You have Caroline who has ulterior motives. And then you have Lizzie who's just kind of like, I don't really know any of y'all. I just know my sister's sick, so I'm just kind of here making sure she's good. You have that whole gumbo of everyone is on a different level, everyone is thinking different things. But as the scene progresses, you're like, hold on, Lizzie can keep up with them. Like, they're not like Mr. Darcy in that moment. I feel as though it's like, oh, she can keep up because they're walking around. He gives them two options. He's like, or he says, like, no, I only have two options. Either you two are best friends and y'all conspiring against me. And he's like, I don't want to hear that. Or y'all are just walking around because you want me to look at you. He's like, so I figure I'll just keep sitting because I have the best view if I'm looking at you. And I was like, oh, okay. I hear you, Mr. Darcy. And then Lizzie is just kind of just going right back at him. Every time he says something, she's just like, no, you're not going to get me. That was my favorite scene of the movie because I was like, that's when I really got to see her as the strong-willed character. Because any other time she just seemed like she didn't care and she was just kind of like, oh, I'll just say what I want. But during that time, she went toe to toe with him and she did not back down once. And I love that.
I think you get a sense of that from the very like from the party
Oh
where they
yes. She was not
introduce where
impressed.
he gets you kind of get a little right. You kind of get a little a hint of that, especially where she kind of gives a little hint of to him that she overheard him without really saying, "I overheard you," but it was kind of understood, and she walks away. And I think I loved that part mainly because she regained her power back in that moment, because when she overhears him saying those things about her, it's like any woman, any girl is gonna feel like, I don't want to say, I mean, maybe not defeated, but just kind of like it's a
Yeah, no,
little gut punch.
definitely,
You know what I
definitely.
mean? I love how she tastefully and classfully regained her power
Definitely.
back in
No, I
that
like
moment.
that.
It was very, very strategical and showed her wit, and I loved it. And then cut to that moment when they're doing the turnabout the room. And if you notice when she comes when she gets introduced and she walks in, and he's the only one that stands up, and when he stands up, he kind of stands up in a
Yes,
nervous
the trap has
way,
been set.
like
He is officially intrigued by her.
yes, you get, and it's like I feel like that whole like her being at the Bingleys at that moment, like from that moment where she's introduced and he stands up, and you can tell he's nervous around her from their dialogue when they're doing the turnabout the room. And how she comes back at him, and he's kind of like shocked that she's challenging him, because he probably has never
Oh,
had
for
a
sure.
woman
Well, let's look
challenge
at
him
the fact
before.
that he's promised to his cousin, who's almost virtually a mute. So, of course, he's never encountered a woman who will actually not only speak, but speak back in a way that's like, no, I'm no, like, you're not all that. During that first ball scene, when she meets Mr. Darcy, and she's like, Mr. Darcy, do you dance? And he's like, not if I can help it. And then 10 minutes later, after we've had multiple like little vignettes during this whole ball, they go back to Mr. Darcy talking to Lizzie, and then he asks her, "Well, you know, basically like they're having a conversation on how can you tell someone's affection or how can you like tell what love is? And she's like, I don't know, maybe if they dance. And it's like, oh, she got right. you, dog. She like she mm-hmm. not only did she keep track of that, but she knew how to use it against you. Because you're sitting there saying, you're right. like, he thought he had the upper hand of saying, like, well, what is love or how do you show affection? He's like, I don't know, maybe if you dance. And it's like I was like, oh, that's brilliant writing. I was like, that's so good.
There's so many things about this movie that make it one of my favorites that it's just there. And the writing is definitely yeah. one of them. Yeah.
So you've kind of touched base on a few of your favorite scenes. But if you could give me a top three, kind of run me through those. What would those be?
So I would say my top three, the Mr. Collins proposes to Elizabeth, that scene.
Okay. Then, that hold on real quick. That's so cold blooded. Like that lets me know so much about you that's your favorite scene.
Dear Miss Elizabeth, I'm sure my attentions have been too marked to be mistaken. Almost as soon as I entered the house, I singled you out as the companion of my future life. But before I am run away with my feelings, perhaps I may state my reasons for marrying. Firstly, that it is the duty of a clergyman to set the example of matrimony in his parish. Secondly, that I am convinced it will add greatly to my happiness. And thirdly, that it is at the urging of my esteemed patroness, Lady Catherine, that I select a wife.
I thought it was hilarious, but at the same time, it's like, mainly because I felt her so much in that scene. When she turns to her dad and she's like, please stay. And he's just like looking at her like, I'm sorry. Like, and walks away. Like, I just feel her pain and the fact that she has to now, because she knows it's automatically going to be a no, and then she knows how her mom's gonna, like, she just knows the drama that's about to ensue from her, because she knows she's going to turn him down, as she should. So I could just, and the fact that she tries to do it in a way, a respectful way, and he is still like insistent, like he's breaking down all of the reasons why he should get married and not why he should marry or why she should marry him. It's like it completely, because she's looking at marriage in a completely different spectrum from him. He's looking at marriage as a business. She's looking at marriage as, this is somebody that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with and I want to love and be happy.
See, so, yeah, I agree with that. I would even say, I don't even know if she looks at marriage as, you know, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I think she's like, I don't have to be married.
Yeah, I think in a way they portray her character as if she's kind of like, I don't have to get married. But at the same time, in that day, I feel like at the same time, she kind of, because they kind of portray her as, especially when the mom is talking in that scene where they're in the party and the mom's talking about how Jane is the prettier one.
Mm, mm-hmm.
I feel like Elizabeth kind of puts up a front, like she doesn't want to get married and she doesn't have to get married because her mom's always made it clear that she isn't as pretty as Jane is.
Ah, so that's a fair point. Okay.
She takes it upon, like, a kind of like a defense mechanism to kind of help cope with the fact that she might not ever get married.
That's fair. And I appreciate that, because like I said, this is my only first time watching it. So my first time was just kind of like, oh no, she's a tough person who's like, no, I don't need it. But I can see if you've seen it multiple times, you can kind of read through those layers and see that.
Yeah,
that's not.
It's very layered. Like and that's why I enjoy watching it multiple times, just because you kind of get layers and layer. You see the layers and layers and layers of it, where you're like, yeah, she is all those things. She's very independent. She's very, you know, headstrong. She's strong willed. She knows what she wants. But at the same time, she has insecurity.
Definitely. No, I that's you know? All. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Okay, so then my next one, I was going to say, when Mr. Darcy proposes to Elizabeth the first go around, the argument.
Miss Elizabeth, I have struggled in vain and I can bear it no longer. These past months have been a torment. I came to Rosings with the single object of seeing you. I had to see you. I have fought against my better judgment, my family's expectation, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstance, all these things, and I'm willing to put them aside and ask you to end my agony.
I don't understand.
I love you. Most ardently. Please do me the honor of accepting my hand.
Sir, I appreciate the struggle you have been through, and I am very sorry to have caused you pain. Believe me, it was unconsciously done.
Is this your reply?
Yes, sir.
Are you laughing at me?
No.
Are you rejecting me?
I'm sure that the feelings which, as you've told me, have hindered your regard will help you in overcoming it.
Might I ask why, with so little endeavor at civility, I am less repulsed?
And I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of insulting me, you chose to tell me that you like me against your better judgment.
No, believe me,
if I was uncivil, then that is some excuse, but I have other reasons. You know I have.
What reasons?
I would say that scene was probably, other than the hand gesture, that was the next sexiest scene in the movie.
Really? The proposal?
Yes. Where there are the arguments.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. The end of the argument. When they clearly want to kiss, but they... That was...
Because it's so... There's so much tension, but it's so electrically charged.
Yes.
That it's... You can feel like they're... Like you... Like they're drawn to each other, but they're just like so... Like they're... It's like a fight, but it's like, I love that. I love that scene. And then I love the scene. I love the scene where Mr. Darcy, I like his final proposal where they're in the field. I love the cinematography in that whole shot where he's walking towards her in the field, and the dew and the mist and it's dark, but it's dimly lit. It's not super dark. It's kind of just that whole, you get a sense of like early morning, like that whole ambiance I loved. And then I loved the way the verbiage and the way that he speaks to her and the way that he, like what he, because I feel like that was the most talking he ever did throughout the whole movie, other than the argument.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, and I feel like he just, that whole scene, and they didn't even kiss, like, but it was just like, it was such a beautiful moment.
Yes, okay.
With them two, I loved that final proposal. And then after that, I got Papa's
approval. Okay, yes. Papa's approval, any other day, like maybe when my daughter's like 23, if I were to watch that, I would break down crying.
Shut the door, please, Elizabeth. You see, are you out of your senses? I thought you hated the man.
No, Papa.
Rich, to be sure. He would have more fine carriages than Jane. But will that make you happy?
Have you no other objection than your belief in my indifference?
You really do love him, don't you?
Very much.
I cannot believe that anyone can deserve you. It seems I am overruled.
Apart from whenever you watched this in preparation for this podcast, when was the last time you actually watched this movie?
I want to say, and I have it written down here, I want to say that I watched it maybe a year ago.
Okay.
It's one of those things where I get, when I get involved with other, you know, binge watching, like with other, you know, series and stuff like that. Like I just kind of, it's one of those things, like when I happen upon it, I happen upon it and I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But now that I have streaming and stuff like that and I have it on Stars, then I'll watch it, you know, more often. But I think I hadn't watched it in maybe a year. Considering I've been watching it since, you know, it first came out relatively, yeah. Like, if, I would say that I watch it at least once or twice a year.
Okay. No, that's excellent. So, what would you say is the larger message? Because we've talked, you know, ad nauseum about Mr. Darcy, you know, Lizzie Bennett. We've talked about the parents. We've talked about the society at whole. But what actually do you think this movie is saying? What's the larger meaning behind it?
Honestly, when I read this question and I started to write out my answer or started thinking about my answer, I was kind of like, is there really a underlining meaning or message, or is it just kind of in your, like,
oh, okay, I like that.
Kind of just in your face, like kind of duh. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's like any, I don't know that there's really any hidden meaning other than this is how, because the name of the movie is Pride and Prejudice. Now I get the title of the, like, of the story, yeah, of the movie. You know what I mean? I get the title of the story. When it comes to love and when it comes to stuff like that, like, and pride and how pride can affect that and how different prejudices can play a part in how people interact with each other and how decisions are made and how, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's kind of in your face. Like, there's really no, and kind of straightforward. I don't know that, I would love to hear your interpretation if you feel like there was a larger meaning or message, because maybe I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I would say I agree with that. I don't think there's a deeper meaning to it. The whole time that I was watching this, or not even the whole time, I would say probably around when Mr. Darcy gives the, in the rain's falling and he gives that, you know, passionate, like, hey, you know, I actually want to marry you type of speech, yeah, is when I started to say, wait, hold on, why is this called Pride and Prejudice?
Right.
And then the whole time I was like, wait, like every big moment that Mr. Darcy and Lizzie had, I was like, again, why is this called Pride and Prejudice? And then I started to say, okay, well, let me look at it another way. What if Mr. Darcy is pride and Lizzie is prejudice? And it's actually just like, it's literally just saying, if you could have titled it another thing, you would have said Mr. Darcy and Lizzie. But Mr. Darcy is the pride. He is, hey, I can't show that I'm weak. I can't show that I love. I can't show that I actually have a kind heart. I can't show that I'm actually the person that will cry with you. I have to be this just blank slate. And I have to just be the guy that's smarmy and, you know, is smart and quick-witted. That's all I am. I have the pride about me. I have this family name, all that good stuff. And then you have Lizzie, who is like, yo, I feel like I know what life is. I think, what is that? The Aunt Catherine, when Lizzie goes to her house and Catherine's like, you talk very boldly for such a young person. Like, you talk like you know what's going on. Like, the prejudice.
Right.
You think you know who people are and you think you know what life is about. Like, you're already to the point where she's like, yo, I'm an old woman who's been around the block and you're talking like you know more than me. So I feel like, to me, off the first watch, it's basically pride and prejudice. Mr. Darcy and Lizzie, and we're just watching how their worlds collide.
Gotcha. I'll push back on that a little bit.
To kick you off the podcast. Don't do that.
I'm gonna push back a little bit. I'm gonna say, and not that necessarily I'm pushing, it's not a push back. It's a, I would say both Pride and Prejudice are within the both of them.
No, that's fair. Oh, for sure. No, and see, and that's what kind of threw me, because I was like, but they both display the same thing. Yes. But I was like, if you boil it down, I was like, maybe it is just simply Mr. Marcy, or Mr. Darcy and Lizzie Bennet. And let's just watch their story.
Yeah. So, like, with Pride and Prejudice, like, the term Pride and Prejudice, and with Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy, I feel like they both have, they're both Pride and Prejudice, but with a different lens.
Mm, yep. No, that's fair. That's definitely fair.
Yes. So she's viewing her Pride and Prejudices based off of his demeanor towards her and what she's experienced, the minimal amount of time that she's experienced of him, and also the messaging and the stories that she's heard from other people. Mm, mm-hmm, right?
Definitely.
So, because she's getting a story from Mr. Wickham, and then she's getting another story from his friend who told her at the church about how Mr. Darcy kept Mr. Bingley from marrying Jane. Now, likely so, if I had heard that, I would have a prejudice. I would think, oh, this guy's an ass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but then also you have Mr. Darcy, who has his prejudices about her class of people in general.
Yes, for sure.
So it's not necessarily biased towards her. It's just how people in his class view people in her class as a whole. And then he's also, Mr. Darcy's not just viewing her. He's viewing her entire family.
Yes.
And her family is nuts. So her family doesn't quite help his view of her in the beginning. And therein lies his prejudice towards her. And then with the pride, they're both very set in their ways and prideful. And then over time, you get to see how their pride is broken down by them being revealed to one another. They're like how they misjudged one another.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's excellent. Here's a thought that I just had while you were talking. What if Mr. Darcy is jealous of Mr. Bingley and his freedom to choose whom he wants to marry? Mm. Because because I feel like the only reason he stepped in to say, hey, dog, like, she's not the one, is because he was already sworn to somebody. So right. I feel like a lot of his judging of the Bennets was because he was not allowed to even look at them. Like, he sees this woman who he's like, I'm very interested in you. But his Aunt Catherine is like, yo, no, you're going to marry your cousin like that. So don't worry about it. And I feel like he might probably looked at Mr. Bingley and was like, man, if I got to be stuck with someone I don't love, like, why do you get to choose whoever you want? Now, I know that makes Mr. Darcy look kind of crazy, but that just kind of stuck in my head of like, why would he step in and say, no, you don't need to marry her?
I also view it from this lens, too. So, like, think about it. So if your friend, if you're coming from a society where it tells you that you have to marry rich, you have to marry wealth, you have to marry somebody that is of your stature, and you're seeing your friend who's about to go off, you know, and marry somebody who isn't, it makes you question your own moral code and your own ethics.
Mm, yep.
And I think him trying to control Mr. Bingley was in a way trying to validate his thought process.
Yes. Okay.
Or to try, because he was probably thinking just as Mr. Bingley was thinking when he first saw Elizabeth, but keeping Mr. Bingley from going off the deep end was in turn keeping himself from going off the deep end.
No, that's excellent. That's excellent.
It's kind of like how you put your fears of what could happen to you onto somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You know, you put your fear, you place your fears on other people, like that whole mentality. I feel like that was Mr. Darcy with Mr. Bingley. Like, he was placing his fear on of himself and what he would like to do onto Mr. Bingley.
While I don't want to agree with you as your whole statement, because it disagreed with me, but yes, that then shows his prejudice and not only his pride. So whatever, point to you, whatever. Whatever. Okay. So, final question. If someone is listening and they've never seen Pride and Prejudice, They don't know who Keira Knightley is and her lovely demeanor. They know nothing about the Bennets. They know nothing about Mr. Darcy.
Yes.
I'm going to give you 60 seconds on the clock, and I need you to give me the reason why someone should watch this movie. Take a deep breath. Take a sip of your drink if you still have it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
And go.
If you like British humor, period dramas, a good love story, this is the movie for you, aside from wonderful acting. And the cinematography is beautifully shot. The music, the orchestra music is captivating. It's a very well thought out story. It's not like your typical sappy love story. It's very nuanced. And if you're into that kind of humor and that kind of love story, then this is the movie for you.
How are you this evening, my dear?
Very well. Only I wish you would not call me my dear.
Why?
Because it's what my father always calls my mother when he's cross about something.
What endearments am I allowed?
Well, let me think. Lizzie for every day. My Pearl for Sundays. And Goddess Divine, but only on very special occasions.
And what shall I call you when I'm cross? Mrs. Darcy?
No. No. You may only call me Mrs. Darcy when you are completely and perfectly and incandescently happy.
And how are you this evening, Mrs. Darcy?